Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum invisibility. It's time for Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Okay, we're going to try this one more time. Kirsten, have we got you?
I think so.
Ah, amazing! Yay! Kia ora, how are you this morning?
Kia ora, I'm good. Better than, wildy weather.
It is. Yeah, we had our Rick Breeze wake-up call, and it sounded very, very windy. I'm looking outside. It's not looking very nice, but hopefully we're all staying nice and warm.
Yeah.
We're talking about International Shoegaze today. Why International Shoegaze? Tell me a bit about this.
Well, what a weird thing. I mean, we've got tracks today from China, Russia, and Chile. So shoegaze... It sort of started in Ireland in the United Kingdom in the 1980s, and it was sort of an indie pop. Some people called it a dream pop, and literally named after because they were using sort of their fuzz pedals on the guitar, and they were literally looking at their shoes in the band. And so this is the case of like we've seen this sometimes before where the press gave it the name, and some of the bands hated the name. They didn't think that's what they were doing. But that was then. But now, it's lasted, but there's been sort of, in the last 10 years, sort of a slight revitalization. It got sort of killed off by grunge, which, as you can hear, is a louder version of that.
Yes, yeah.
You know, talking about, pedals. And yeah, it's weirdly enough, it's taken off internationally. I mean, obviously in New Zealand, we love our shoegaze. We've had, different New Zealand bands that really, had that sound. But yeah, sort of quite an interesting story, and I hope you like the tracks. Like, we're going to start with a band from China.
Yes.
Unusually enough, called the White Tulips. And apparently in China, it's associated, the name of it, shoegaze, means sort of English gloom.
Really? Interesting. I feel like it's always been a bit of an ambiguous genre for me. Like, I feel like there's so much that comes under it, and I guess it makes sense that it's more focused on the use of pedals, because that can go across so many different sounds. But I've always kind of been like, damn, there's some stuff that's labeled shoegaze that I'm like, is not fitting with other stuff that's labeled shoegaze, but I don't know, maybe that's just me.
Well, we're going to hear so many adjectives today. And I also hate it when they describe a genre using constant other genres' names, because I'm like, if the person listening doesn't know the genre, how is that helping?
Yeah.
One thing about shoegaze in Asia, I have a quote I came across that, it flourishes among the art school introverts of Shanghai, Tokyo, and Taiwan.
Interesting.
And this calls shoegaze, and in regards to White Tulips, noisy, beautiful, hazy, psychedelic rock. And
yeah, that feels like a good descriptor.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, I'm into that. That makes sense. I like had listened to this track beforehand, and I'm like, yeah, that checks out.
Here's another vibey quote. From Taipei to Shanghai, lush hooks, half-whispered lyrics, melodic noise, and raw ends of effects pedals come together as a quintessentially Western musical style cross-pollinates with Asian aesthetics to form a striking hybrid. Honestly, the people writing about these bands, my gosh.
Tell me more of it about the White Tulips. Do we know much more about how they kind of developed their sound?
They were originally from Xiamen. From Xiamen, China, in a band called Cheese Mind. So that's why I got confusing looking. now they're called Cheese Mind, and they were White Tulips.
Right.
They had a big tour in Japan that was kind of what made them like a real band, but yeah, they're an independent act, but for now their band is on hold. I guess that's what I found. Oh, but Xiamen is a coastal city, so some people think, that's part of their sound. Other things describing them was noise pop and indie.
Yes. We're moving on with a track from Russia next, right? How do you feel like shoegaze has kind of differed internationally, like across different countries? Do you think it's quite homogenous, or do different countries and places kind of interpret it differently?
I mean, they feel they're interpreting it differently. Obviously, with the East Asian ones, you know, they feel they've got East Asian influences.
Mm.
And what's so funny about this Russian band, they're called Blankenberg, which is the name of a city in Belgium, but they're Siberian. I mean, Siberia just, like, oozes what we would think of as shoegaze.
Mm.
And it's named after Blankenberg, Belgium, because that was the first time they saw the sea.
Oh, my goodness. I find it crazy. They're like, I mean, it's an obvious thing, but I think living in New Zealand, it's so hard to believe that a lot of people live a lot of their lives not ever seeing the sea in real life. And so, like, what an experience that would
be.
I know.
Yeah, it must be so, you know.
Wild.
And the other story I have around this band, so they're from Barnaul, Siberia, which, yeah, is real centrally central. It's, like, above Mongolia and Kazakhstan, so it's right, super landlocked. But now they're based in St. Petersburg, and apparently that's, like, one of the places for, like, underground bands.
Oh, yeah.
So bands, hanging out there. Apparently, you know, they said there's a few good bands playing shoegaze and dream pop.
Mm.
That have come from different cities, but they hang out in Moscow and St. Petersburg and stuff. Now here we're going with the adjectives. A sound somewhere between pure beauty and enormous strength. An elegant sound that seemingly is able to slow down your heart while at the same time filling it with joy. Honestly, the people that write about shoegaze.
I mean, like, you got to give it to them. They've got a bit of a way with words.
And one of the band members says the important criteria for songwriting is shimmering, and dynamic.
Oh, I like shimmering for songwriting.
Their sonic caverns are deep. Their vocals are assured. I really, you know, like, I'm a musicologist. I don't even know what this means. oh, here's another one. The space they inhabit is fully their own.
Oh, I have to say, I'm a bit of a sucker for, like, romanticized writing like that, though.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm like...
This is your genre, bro.
Like, it is. I had such a shoegaze phase, like, particularly in high school. So when Anika told me this was the theme of our kōrero today, I was like, oh, you know what? Stoked.
So, you know, so what are you thinking about, like, having, you know, why is this sort of still maintaining after decades, and then having, like, an international sort of grab?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a real, like, nostalgic aspect to it. Like, there's a lot of, you know, huge bands that took on that genre, and that, like, you know, as classic as it is, like, you know, Slow Dive, that's always just going to be iconic. And, like, Dive, would you put...
A lot of them mention, like, that, Slow Dive, yeah.
Yeah, like, so many are just always going to be so nostalgic, I think. And I think, particularly in music, people always come back to nostalgia. And, like, there seems to be, like, a bit of a turnaround quite often. And I think this is one of those genres that is kind of seeing a bit of a turnaround.
But why would young people, like, have nostalgia, I guess, for a past they weren't a part of?
I don't know. That's something I'm quite interested in. It's a bit of an interesting psychology, because I'm, like, so one of those people as well. I totally grip on to eras that I have not lived in at all. Like, and I'm like, that's my own. What do you mean? You weren't there.
Actually, come to think of it, without giving away my age completely, growing up in the 80s, we were obsessed with the 50s. Like, if you think about Grease, and there was the song Happy Day, and there was a TV show Happy Days.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I guess it's a similar thing, being sort of obsessed.
Yeah, I think also, like, maybe there's something quite satisfying, like, I don't know, looking at music that's from, like, an older generation, and, you know, production has come so far. And being able to, like, look at it and be like, oh, like, they didn't have, like, the technical stuff that we have now, and they've still created this greatness, and that's quite interesting.
Okay. sort of appreciation for the air quotes primitive sort of constructions they had.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe something like that. I don't know. I'm kind of pulling stuff out of the air, but I definitely, yeah, it's an interesting thing that we do that. I don't know.
Well, I like that this is like a scene, and I feel like, you know, okay, I'm not as aware of, I know a little bit about China, I'm not as aware of Russian popular music, and Chile, we all know, like, Latin music's amazing. So, but I feel like a lot of the music from these spaces are really poppy and sort of high energy, intense. Mm. And so this, for them, even though it's a foreign genre, it gives people with a different aesthetic, you know, somewhere else to go if they're not into sort of, you know, vibrant Latin dancing.
Totally.
Or really super boppy electronic, you know, fun pop, I guess, you know, like it's just offering. And I think some people enjoy the idea of an independent vibe. And,
yeah.
An underground scene, you know?
Totally. I think, yeah, I think there's always like also so much like community and those kind of underground scenes and people who don't feel like they fit in maybe a more mainstream. It's like, that's such a home and people really gravitate to those comfortable spaces. So I guess that music plays a really big part in that as well. We've got a track from Chile now. Do you want to talk about this one? This is Sea Temples.
Yeah, another, you know, totally new place. This is from 2025.
Mm.
And another, I guess, sort of ocean-y, you know, place with a lot of ocean. It seemed to have sort of foggy spaces.
Yeah.
So this band is Los Templos Marinados is the, you know, Spanish word for it. Their band gets called post-punk, goth rock, dream pop, dark wave, noise pop, cold wave, but other things are haunting and seductive. And they've been around for a while. They emerged in 2024. They've got a couple of albums. A band bound by the push and pull of post-punk's somber depth and shoegaze's shimmering expanse.
Ooh. Fun.
Honestly, these people writing this. Brooking, yet celestial, raw, yet refined.
There's so many words thrown in. I'm like, what are you even talking about?
I know. Well, just as somebody who like marks stage one essays, I'm just like,
true.
Oh my God.
I'm sure you've read plenty of that. Okay, so we're coming to the end of the segment here. Any final concluding remarks, Kirsten?
I've got here my notes to remember to mention is that like there's also bands from Peru, Ireland, Korea, Norway, Spain. Like it's really, you know, really global. And I guess as you said, like, you know, being nostalgic, so it's, for me it's interesting seeing new generations sort of taking up this music that kind of, you know, the original genre wasn't that long lived, you know? It had its thing, it had its time. And yeah, so it's really cool. So anyways, a lot of cool listening if you're interested.
Yes, totally. Just for our listeners, I'll just give you a little rundown on what we played today. From China, we had a track from The White Tulips. That one was called Tardy. Then we moved on to a track from Russia. That was Blankenberg with the track Falling Stars. And we ended just now on Sea Temples, which is from Chile, with the track The Fog. Thank you so much, Kirsten. It's been so great chatting.
All right. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
All right.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.